Genesis chapter 24, we're going to once again read verse 10 through 14. Our next portion of scripture will be verse 15 through 28. I don't know if we'll get into that portion of scripture this morning or not. But in Genesis chapter 24, verse 10, "And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. He made his camel to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he says, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." We read this passage of scripture, began looking into it a little bit last week. Abraham is old and well stricken in age. And the Lord, I believe, begins to work and direct Abraham to seek a wife for Isaac, the son of promise. And he sends his trusted servant back to the land of his people to find Isaac a wife. He makes this servant swear that he will not take Isaac a wife from the people of Canaan. And he makes him swear that he will not take Isaac back to the land from which they came. And so he gathers together some resources and some funds and what have you, and he goes back. Some 500 miles he travels to find, to see if the Lord would allow him to find a wife for Isaac, the son of promise. And we looked at some things from this passage of scripture, not only verse 10 through 14, but all the previous verses. And the thought continues throughout the remainder of Genesis 24 that this man that was entrusted with everything that Abraham had was a trustworthy and honest servant. A trustworthy and honest servant. He was entrusted and oversaw everything that Abraham owned, and he was very wealthy. And he was trusted and was honest to take a portion of that wealth to go and find a wife for Isaac. And I put before you last week that we are all the servants of God. We are all the servants of Jehovah. If you're here today and you are a child of God and you're saved by the grace of God and you know you're saved, then you're a servant of the Most High God. A point could be made, even if you're here and you're not saved, You're still of God's creation. He is still your God. And you still have obligations and responsibility towards Him. So I guess you could say to some degree, everybody here this morning is a servant of God. Some of us are saved, the children of God, by faith. Others are yet unsaved, but yet they're still God's people. And they're still responsible to God for their lives and how they live their lives. Don't ever get the idea that because you're not a Christian, or because you've not made a profession of faith, or because you've not joined the church, or because you're not a church member, that you're free from responsibility towards God. You are all responsible. We're all responsible to some degree before God, our Creator. The question that I put before you last week was, are we trustworthy and honest servants? Look at how you live your life day after day after day. Look at how you've lived your life since last Sunday when I first preached from this passage of Scripture. Look at your life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and ask yourself, have you been a good, honest, faithful servant of God? What have you done in the past 7 days? What have you done to prove yourself a good, faithful, and honest servant? I believe it behooves all of us to take inventory every once in a while. And I think the way the Lord has services laid out, it would be a good practice every Sunday to do an inventory. How are we doing? Are we good? Are we faithful? Are we honest servants? With everything God has entrusted to us, with everything God has given us, with all that is within our hands, by the blessings of God upon us, are we good, faithful servants with all that? Are we good, faithful servants with our homes? Are we good, faithful servants with our children? Are we good, faithful servants with our possessions? Are we good, faithful servants with all of the wealth that He has given us? And I like to think, and I think it makes perfect sense, that compared to how you and I, the average one of us today, live, we're all so wealthy compared to how they had to live in Bible times. We're so blessed. Many would say, I'm not rich. Yeah, but you're blessed beyond measure. And you're blessed far more than those who came before us. We're so blessed. Well, how do we do with those things? Well, if the answer comes back, not so good, what do you need to do? You need to repent. You need to go to God and ask Him to forgive you for not being an honest, trustworthy servant. You need to go and make the record clear with your God. You need to repent. You need to confess. You need to ask God to help you learn from your mistakes. As we've been hearing about the steps of maybe getting right with God that Brother Luke is drawing out of 2 Kings, we need to go back through those steps and make things right between us and God. See, there's coming a day when you're going to stand before your Creator. There's going to come a day, as we have heard even this morning, when whether expected or not, you're going to leave this world. You're going to leave this life. Are you ready? Is your conscience clear? Have you done all to serve the Lord? Well, as long as you have breath, it's not too late. Get right with God. Do an accounting of your life and all that you have and all that God's given you. Get right with Him. Be ready to go. You don't know when that time is going to come. We saw in this passage of Scripture that the man positioned himself for blessing. And I think that bears repeating this morning. As you look at how all that God has given you and you consider the fact that maybe you need to change some things or fix some things, repent, confess, get some things right. And he calls us to repent and confess our sins in 1 John. If you consider all these things, and if we'll do those, if we'll be right with God, we'll get right with God. By the grace of God, we'll stay right with God. If we'll trust and obey, as the song says, we will position ourselves for blessing. He traveled all that way to find Isaac a wife. He went to where the well was. He went to where the well was at a time when the women came out to fetch water. It was their responsibility. It was their task. He positioned himself there looking for the fulfillment of his mission. He positioned himself for the blessings of God. And he prayed the blessings of God upon him. How are you and I doing with positioning ourselves for the blessings of God? Or are we more positioned concerning the world, the things of the world, the ways of the world? You see, we got to get those things out of our life. We got to remove those things. We got to destroy those things. We've got to remove even the influences of those things. We need to remove from our life even those who might influence us to evil and evil and influence us to do wrong. We need to position ourselves for blessing. How are you positioned this morning as far as the blessings of God are concerned? Matthew 6:33, we quoted last week, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things, that always impresses me when I read that passage of Scripture. Don't seek the things. Don't seek after the ways of the world. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and he'll provide all the things. Most people today, I would say without apology, most people today are upside down in this regard. They're seeking the things of the world, the ways of the world, to be success in the world. They're seeking to be somebody in the world instead of seeking first God, his kingdom, his righteousness. You get things turned back up the way they ought to be, and you'll seek God first. Seek to bring honor and glory to him first. He's promised to provide all the things. Where's your focus today? We touched briefly on how that this trusted, honest servant prayed. He prayed for guidance. I believe that demonstrates to us that he indeed was a man of faith. Send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. He prayed. As the servants of the Lord, are we trustworthy and honest servants? Are we living our lives positioned for him to bless us? And are we praying for that blessing? Are we seeking God's will in regarding that blessing? Are we asking God to show us good speed this day? Are we asking God to show kindness to those who are near and dear to us for our sake? I find that most impressive. He's a servant. Faithful and honest servant. Carrying out his commission, carrying out his mission. He's traveled all this ways to find his master's son a wife. He positions himself and does all the right things. And then he prays. But that's not what impresses me the most. What impresses me the most is he prays that God would bless Abraham. Take a gulp. Take a deep breath. We can pray for ourselves. We do pray for ourselves. We can list all the things we think God ought to do, and we can list all the things we wish God would do, and we can list all the things that we believe are absolutely essential for us being happy. We can pray for all those things, but this man prayed that God would bless him in the carrying out of his mission, and that God would bless his servant Abraham through Abraham's servant. How much time do we pray? God, bless me in such a way that you can bless someone else. Oh, we pray for somebody who's sick. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about praying, give me good speed this day. Bless me so that I may be a blessing to Abraham. That's unselfish praying. Do you ever have time in your busy prayer life? Do you ever have time to ask God to give you good speed and to bless you, that you might be a blessing, that God might bless someone else near and dear to you? Think about it. He prays that God would bless Abraham by him. By him. In verse 13 and 14, we didn't look at this, I don't think, if I recall right. But he seeks a sign from God. He seeks a sign from God. In verse number 13 and 14, behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. He prays that God would bless Abraham through him, and prayed God's blessings upon him, that they would proceed to be a blessing to Abraham. And he says, here I am by the well of water. Here I am where the women come out to draw water. Here I am where someone's going to come along, I believe, or I think someone's going to come along that you have chosen to be Isaac's wife. Give me a sign that I may be able to identify her. When she comes out and I see her and I ask her to give me a drink of water, and she says, gladly, I'll get you a drink of water. And she goes and gets me a drink of water. And when she says, while you're resting and drinking the water that I fetched for you, I will fetch all the water that's needed for your 10 camels. Give me a sign, Lord. That's quite a sign. You would never find anything like that in the world today. But that's the sign he seeks for. You know, signs are not necessarily a bad thing. Signs are not necessarily an evil thing. There are many examples. I think Elijah put out the fleece. And Jonathan said to his servant, let's do this and this and this. It may be that the Lord will give us a great victory over these uncircumcised, I think they were Philistines. And there, 1 Samuel 14, you find it. God gave them a sign. They knew God had given them or would give them the victory there. But you have to be careful with signs. You have to be careful about seeking signs. Sometimes when we're seeking signs, we're lacking faith. And we're seeking for things God has already told us, has already addressed us. You know, you shouldn't ought to be praying, God, do you want me to do what the Bible says? Of course he wants you to do it. Seeking a sign is foolishness. Many times people seek signs because they lack the faith to just do, to just live, to just obey the Lord. Many times people seek signs because they don't like what the Bible says and they don't want to do what the Bible says. And they eventually justify their disobedience by saying, well, I sought a sign from the Lord and this is what he gave me. I don't want to exaggerate, so I won't. But I kind of want to say, if I had a dollar for every time somebody told me the Lord led them to do something that was wrong, if I had a dollar, I wouldn't be rich, but I'd have quite a few dollars. We ought not to be praying about what the Bible plainly says. We ought not to be demonstrating a lack of faith by seeking a sign when God has already told us to trust and to obey. Lean not to our own understanding. We ought not to be seeking signs when we know what God would have us to do. We just need to do it. We just need to do it. But if you're going to seek a sign, if you're going to go down that road, remember you're asking a sign from the Holy Spirit. You're not asking for a sign from the world. You're not asking for a sign from anybody you know in the world. When you seek a sign, you're asking the Holy Spirit to do something in your life, to give you a sign of what you should do. Don't ever forget, it's the Holy Spirit you're seeking a sign from. That'll determine a lot of what that sign ends up being. That'll determine a lot of what kind of signs you need to throw in the trash can and go on to plan B. The Holy Spirit, if a sign is going to come, or if he's going to show you something that's his will for you to do, it's the Holy Spirit's going to do it. The Lord will never give you a sign. Remember this, though. The Lord will never give you a sign that's not in the Bible, that's not trustworthy and reliable, that you can't read in the pages of Scripture. This is God's will. You're never going to seek a sign lest it come from the Holy Spirit. You're never going to seek a sign lest it's consistent with what the Word of God has to say. You're never going to find a sign, and God's not going to give you a sign that's contrary to the will of God in your life. It's just not going to happen. See, this man is asking for a sign, kind of in a roundabout way. But he's asking for a sign consistent with the will of God in his life and in his finding a bride for Isaac. We see in this passage of Scripture, I can't pass on without noticing or calling you to notice that he goes there seeking not just a woman. He goes there seeking not just a wife, not just somebody Isaac could marry, but he went there seeking the right kind of woman. the right kind of woman. Today's Mother's Day, and we celebrate and we acknowledge our mothers, and we thank God for our mothers, and we pray God's blessings upon our mothers. Mothers and women of the world have an overwhelming impact upon the course of this world. So he went here seeking not just a woman, but the right kind of woman. The right kind of woman. She's not rich. She's not beautiful. She's not this. She's not that. All of the outward packagings are not where the focus is. I'm going to go and I'm going to stand by this well and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for the woman to come by. I'm going to ask her to give me something to drink. I'm going to ask her, I'm going to see if she'll give all my 10 camels water enough to recoup from their trip. He's looking for a particular kind of woman. Not the kind of woman that the world would look for today. Proverbs chapter 31 talks about the virtuous woman. And the virtuous woman, according to my understanding, was a married woman, a woman of her home and family, and who looked well to the ways of her household. So in considering the virtuous woman, you'd have to make application to how these traits could be found in a single person. But it can be done. I think I said last week, it's not that you need a woman. It's not that you need a wife. It's not that you need a husband. It's not that you need a spouse. What you need, what I need, what we all need, what everyone needs is to please the Lord and to glorify Him. And if we will glorify Him and we'll seek the Lord first, as we've already quoted from Matthew chapter 6, if we'll seek the right kind of woman, the right kind of man, the right kind of spouse, seek to have the right kind of home, raise up the right kind of children, if we'll seek to glorify the Lord, which is our real and only need, I believe God will provide all of these things accordingly to His standards. 1 Timothy chapter 2, New Testament spin on the virtuous woman. New Testament spin, if you would, to the right kind of woman. 2 Timothy First Timothy 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Let the right kind of woman adorned themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness, with some bashfulness, some sobriety. Some shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or the focus all on the external. But let a woman adorn herself as becometh a woman professing godliness. That's the right kind of woman. See, society would tell us the right kind of woman is this and this and this. The right kind of man is this, this, and this. The right man and the right woman is the one God would have us to have. And the one that's honoring and glorifying to Him. And the one that has those qualities that resemble a person of godliness. Godliness. So we don't need this, we don't need that. What we need is to glorify the Lord. Let's stand together, have a verse of song, and we'll close today.